Thank you, Mr. Baker, and good afternoon to everyone here. It's hard to believe that the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread are just around the corner. Well, in just under 7 weeks from now, the Spring Holy Days will be here. You know, the Days of Unleavened Bread remind us that with God's help, we must remove and avoid all types of sin symbolized by leaven in all areas of our life. There's an example in the Old Testament that illustrates the importance of putting out sin and the consequences that result when the task is not completely accomplished. The Israelites in the Old Testament had some leaven that kept rising up in the form of what was called high places. So this afternoon, I would like to examine the command which God gave to Moses about removing the high places and how it was carried out in the times of the kings of Judah and Israel. So let's first take a look at the command that God gave to Israel before they crossed over into the promised land. So please turn with me to Numbers 33. That's Numbers 33, and we'll read verses 50 to 52. So Numbers 33:50-52. Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, destroy all their engraved stones, destroy all their molded images, and demolish all their high places." Here God told Moses that they were to demolish or to utterly destroy all of the high places. Now, the high places were places for pagan worship. They were used for practicing the rites of idolatry. The Cultural Background Study Bible says this about the high places in the Bible. The high places are religious sites typically associated with hills or mountains. High places were used in conjunction with the worship of a number of gods and had a variety of forms, sizes, and function. Prior to the construction of the temple, high places in Israel were simply generic places where worship or cultic activity took place, reflecting a non-centralized worship context. However, following the completion of the temple, high places became associated with idolatry and syncretism, which is the combination of different forms of belief or practice. So consequently, the removal or non-removal of the high places became a litmus test for the religious fidelity of a given king. So how did the kings of Israel and Judah follow the command to remove the high places from the land of Israel? So I will divide the kings of Israel and Judah and how they kept this command to remove the high places into three groups. The first group did not remove the high places. So after the death of King Solomon, the kingdom was divided into the northern kingdom called Israel, as you all know, and the southern kingdom called Judah. The kingdom of Israel had a total of 19 kings. So you can guess that not one of the 19 kings of Israel ever attempted to bring the people back to God, much less remove the high places. The first king of Israel after King Solomon was King Jeroboam, who instituted calf worship and instituted a feast in the eighth month and made shrines in the high places. The other 18 kings of Israel, what did they do? They followed in the sins of Jeroboam, who had made Israel to sin. And the kingdom of Israel lasted a little over 200 years and was conquered by Assyria. Now let's look at the kingdom of Judah. They had 20 kings. And most of the kings of Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not remove the high places. So the first king of Judah after Solomon was King Rehoboam. And he started on the wrong foot. Judah built for themselves high places during his reign. In fact, even King Solomon, toward the end of his reign, built high places. Okay, let's go to the second group. These were the kings who did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but did not completely remove the high places from the land of Judah. So an example would be King Jehoshaphat. He was the fourth king of Judah. In 2 Chronicles 17:6, you don't have to go there, 2 Chronicles 17:6, we are told that he removed the high places and wooden images from Judah. But apparently, he did not entirely remove the high places, because we read a few chapters later in 2 Chronicles 20, so that's 2 Chronicles 20, 32 and 33. So let's turn there. So that's 2 Chronicles 20, 32 and 33. And he, that's King Jehoshaphat, walked in the way of his father Asa and did not turn aside from doing it, doing what was right in the sight of the Lord. Nevertheless, in verse 33, nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, for as yet the people had not directed their hearts to the God of their fathers. Looking at the commentary by Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, here's what they state about this particular thing. Here's what they say. Those on which adultery was practiced were entirely destroyed, as we read in 2 Chronicles 17:6. So those on which adultery was practiced were entirely destroyed, but those where the people continued to worship the true God, prudence required to be slowly and gradually abolished, deference to popular prejudice. So King Jehoshaphat did not entirely remove the high places, as commanded in Numbers 33:50, where we read that all the high places were to be removed. So let's go on now to the third group. So the third group are the kings, it's a small group, are the kings that removed the high places from Judah. Only two kings removed the high places from Judah completely, entirely. And they are King Hezekiah and his great-grandson, King Josiah. Israel was taken captive in the early part of King Hezekiah's reign. And after King Hezekiah, his son, King Manasseh, I'm sure you heard of King Manasseh, he built the high places which King Hezekiah had destroyed. So let's take a look at the example of King Josiah. And he's the 16th king of Judah in removing the high places. So let's turn, please turn with me to Second Chronicles 34. So that's 2 Chronicles 34, we'll read verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand and to the left. Verse 3, for in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek God, the father of his father David. So that would have made him 16 years old at that time, which should be an example to our teens of what he did at age 16. And continuing, and in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images, the carved places, and the molten images. Verse 4, and they broke down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the incense altars which were above them, he cut down, and the wooden images, the carved images, and the molten images, he broke in pieces and made dust of them and scattered it to the graves of those who had sacrificed of them. And in verse 6, and so he did in the cities of Manasseh, Ephraim, Simeon as far as Naphtali and all around with axes. Unlike the second group of kings that only partially removed the high places, King Josiah removed all the high places and did not stop until it was completed. The chapter 34, goes on to say that the book of the law was found during King Josiah's reign, and he made a covenant to the Lord. He also kept the Passover, and it was said that there had been no Passover kept since the days of Samuel the prophet. It is also said of him, King Josiah, that he turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might. And that is how he approached removing the high places. And so what happened after King Josiah? Well, it was all downhill. The last four kings of Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord. And within 23 years of after King Josiah, Judah was conquered by Babylon. So brethren, as God told the Israelites to remove the high places from the land, we are to remove sin from our lives. You know, we are told in the New Testament that we are to become king and priest. The kings of Israel and Judah had to make the decisions as to whether to remove the high places as commanded by God. As future kings and priests, we also have to make decisions as to whether and to what extent we are going to remove the spiritual high places in our lives, in whatever they might be. The kings of Judah and Israel did not have a good track record in removing the high places. Only two kings, the ones that I mentioned, took the high places seriously enough to destroy them completely. So which of the three groups do we fall in? Well, I believe that we all want to be in the third group when it comes to removing sin from our lives. Like leaven, we all have our spiritual high places that need to be put away. With God's help, we can remove the spiritual high places from our lives.